Hi there, and welcome to Conscious Living on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. I've got a great guest. I would love to introduce to you the best, most radical program for reformatting your hard drive and changing the way you currently approach reality. The creator of that program is Diane Collins. The book, The Process, The New Way of Being, Do You Quantum Think? New thinking that will rock your world. And fortunately, through an act of miscreation, I got to talk to Diane yesterday. So I am really, really excited about our show today. Diane, thanks for coming on and talking with me.
I am so delighted to be here with you, Wendy, and with everyone. And I love that you said this new way of being rather than, it's a both end, but rather than a new way of thinking, because it is a new way of thinking, but really it's for creating a new condition from which we live, think, and are. So that was perfect.
Well, and the thing is, when you see the book, and I'm just advising you now before you go pick one up, there's a lot to take in. You introduce it and preface it with, I'm going to be your best friend. Let me tell you something. So you kind of take that, that intimidation factor away. However, it's a lot of content. So kicking that off, how do you get people into the program here? What kicks the whole thing off and gets them started?
Well, what kicks it off is this fact, I'm going to call it a fact, that our thinking takes place as a system, like everything else in this great universe or multiverse, however you want to think of it. And so when you look at that and think, well, if thinking creates reality, right, our habits of thinking generate our experience, the meaning we give our thoughts in the moment are giving us our experience of life, that experience becomes our resonant field, what we emanate, what we vibrate, and therefore, because everything works in sympathetic vibration connection to one another. So, you know, these are not really technical terms anymore, Wendy. Mm-hmm. This is like what the current knowledge is. So when I ask the question, because I like to say, okay, we are here. We want to create what we want. It's that simple. How do we do it? What are the dynamics of creation? And if thinking creates, quote, reality, then what's creating thinking? And so this is when I had what I call my revelation, is that we are influenced by the overarching, the assumptions, beliefs, ideas of the, quote, worldview, the big picture worldview, which generally comes from science. And so when you look at it and you say, okay, we're in a quantum age. We know we're living in a holistic, a holographic world. We're living in a multidimensional reality. You talk about all the other dimensions and you know, really enlighten people that on your great show, Wendy. And we know what I call we have these faculties of mind that we don't learn to master in traditional education, based on the fact that traditional education is based in the old worldview. What's the old worldview? Gave rise to machines. They said only matter is real. You know, it's an evidence-based circumstance reality. And so what I say is you have to know three things. We're in a mind-based reality. We have to know, I'm saying have to, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you want to be, you know, be in command of your life and your world, it's a good idea to, let me put it that way, the five natural faculties of mind, and that is the power of intent, intuition, how to work and tune into subtle energy, how do you use this dynamic of resonance to manifest what it is we want. And I call the meditative, a faculty of mind. That is the state. from which we are connected to the infinite all that is. And that's where we're most powerfully connected. So you have to know how these fit together. So where do we start? You know, I, as you mentioned, in Do You Quantum Think, I like entertainment. So I wrote it into two parts. Part one, you know, it's kind of like my maverick. Why should we quantum think? You know, why do we need to think in a new way? And why is, you know, distinguishing new thinking is not just a new idea, it's a new framework. So I take, you know, hi, I'm your new best friend. Let's look at the picture here. Humanity, we've never really gotten along that well. We still have war, crime, et cetera, all the things. What if we could create a world that eliminated that? What if we actually could create that kind of reality starting with ourselves? And then in part two, live the wisdom. It's, you know, part one is wake up. Hi, let's wake up out of our conditioned, somewhat automatic ways of thinking and approaching how we relate to reality. And part two, live the wisdom that here, you can quantum think right now, because quantum think is a system of 21 principles and practice for the mind and awareness that enables us. It's really a, it's not like I know something and you don't. You connect to your own greater awareness as you read. So what I'm doing, Wendy, is presencing what we already know or can connect to in some way, you know, beyond the physical limitations, into that mind field, spiritually based, consciousness based field. We connect to it as I'm presencing it in the writing. And when we connect to it, we are actually creating something experiential in our own being in the present moment. I call it the art of distinguishing, to bring something into your awareness so that you give yourself an experience. Why? Because experience integrates the wisdom. So my, that's been my, you know, my passion, and I think what I, my soul came here to, in part, to elucidate this, to disseminate this, is to have us go as a culture and as individuals from merely knowing the wisdom to actually living it, being walking, talking embodiments of that which we aspire to.
Can I interject here? Because I think that's a good a segue for part of your book here about the mind.
Absolutely.
You start, and I, this is mind, the passport to heaven. Your mind is your life. But the big thing is, you are not your mind. And so changing people in a mindset here of getting out of that and becoming more where you, you go into more details about the observer, the non-local observer, those are really powerful, powerful shift points. And that's where you start as you're getting through this in the, you know, the beginning of the book with the emotions, the feelings and all of that, and helping people to disengage from that as being real to just being an experience. So how does that work?
Well, wait one second. I don't know what it is. Every time I get on the show, I have this throat clearing going on. That's probably.
They edit.
To worry. Remind me that I'm human too.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
We've got this human body and here I am. Okay. Now, it's like this. And I want to point this out because I say this in the very beginning of the book. What if there's actually nothing wrong with us? You know, we always go into, you know, why do I have this thought? Why do I have that terrible thought? How am I ever going to overcome my circumstances? And, you know, I'm asking the question, what if there's nothing wrong with us. It's not because of some deep-seated, subconscious or psychological thing that, you know, we have these sort of habits. It's not because people are inherently evil or bad. It's simply due to being conditioned in a matter-based mechanical worldview. And this comes to what you just brought up about mind. Because to the extent to which we are operating in some aspect of our automatic conditioning, that's to the extent of which we're not actually at conscious choice. So when we say your mind is your life and you are not your mind, what it means is that when I use the word mind, I'm not talking about the left brain cognitive, you know, that. I'm talking about mind as the individualized form of the all-pervasive consciousness. So what I'm saying is mind, you can think of as whatever you hold in awareness at any given point in space-time. Now, so this is not something to believe or to take my word or anyone's word for it, because you can experience this right now. What can you be aware of other than what you're holding in your awareness right now, even if it's a past memory, a future wondering or wandering, any of it, whatever you are holding in mind right now is, in essence, our life now. However, at the same time, and this is the paradox of the quantum world view, you are not your mind. You are, we are, that unbounded, greater, free awareness with a capital A that is, can become aware of what fills our mind. Therefore, I like to think of this as, that's why I think of meditation as a faculty of our own mind. Because when you can remain in that meditative state where you know yourself as that greater awareness, or what some, you know, mastery traditions, spiritual traditions actually call the self with an uppercase S, or the higher self, or it doesn't matter what you call it. All of us know that there is an awareness that is free of all conditioning. And this is what enables us to become masterful in our lives, which I know you know, Wendy, because when you look at, you know, these thoughts, I call them thoughts that visit, we can make a distinction between a thought that you initiate that originates from your free and conscious choice and a thought that just visits from the surrounding mind field, which I like to call the thoughtosphere, to make it cute and, you know, light. Because when you realize, okay, you teach people, Wendy, we're taking in intelligence from many different entities, planes of reality. And when you realize that, and when you're looking from, this is where the system is important. That's what I call, you know, quantum think, a system of thinking. When you make that leap and you're looking from the system rather than at it, you're living from the principles rather than trying to get to them, you also realize we're in a mind field, you know, in this very, that's M-I-N-D field, that we're connect, you know, we say we're interconnected, all is one. How are we connected? We are connected in mind fields, in quantum fields, where we're in a continuous exchange, an energy intelligent exchange, an exchange of connection. That's what it is. It's really connection. It's not a moving. It's whatever you connect into. So when you realize that, I like to think of it this way. What if you're picking up intel, right, thoughts from the field, that if you were at true conscious choice, you would not be choosing a disparaging thought about yourself or others. You would not be choosing a habitual way of relating to your own self in some way that would be limiting. And so, you know, is this quote the truth? Well, from a quantum worldview, there is no absolute fixed reality because everything is energy in flux informed by intelligence. So what then? Well, what is reality? It's context dependent. Reality, as you experience, and this is where you brought in the observer effect, is based in what you bring to your experience, what you bring. So when you have these thoughts that are coming in from the surrounding mind field that do not serve you or others in any way, you don't have to identify with that thought. You don't have to latch onto it. You don't have to own it. And you don't have to try to even change it, because you can't actually change a thought. It already is there. But what you can do is you can create a new relationship with that thought, because a thought is another circumstance. So we may not always be able to control the circumstances just in the ordinary daily reality that we live in. However, we can always can be in command. I don't like to use that word control, because that's too much force, and I like finesse. We're always can be in masterful command of our relationships to our, quote, system of thinking, and to our individual thoughts that are creating our experience of life moment by moment. And when you do it as a system, Wendy, that what happens is the system is like a vortex. It becomes easy and natural. It's like, you know, you drive on the road, you have free choice, but you're within a system. It's something like that. You leap systems, and you're thinking in this system, and it becomes natural to use your intuition in a more, you know, way of life, to use all those faculties of mind that way.
Can I jump in with an experiential tag?
Please.
To give it a grounding in a way. Okay. And again, Diane Collins, the book is called Do You Quantum Think? And the tag on the website is, the answer when you can no longer figure it out, quantum think it. Here's a way, when we go back to this meditation and talking about being present moment by moment, the meditation is a tool to get you to develop a clean slate, basically a framework for going into and tagging certain bits of reality that you want to bring in. Once you've got that clean slate, it's blank. Anything's possible. This is the potential. What I've experienced in that meditation was the awareness of being in these non-local states. One, as I meditated, I had an out-of-body experience where I found myself awake, aware, and fully present in a glowing ball of yellow light, like a sun, the size of a basketball, above my body, maybe 12 inches or so above the bed. And at the same time, I had another awareness. I am my body. I am this glowing orb. And then above, somewhere in the room, I was another being that had the observer ability to know that I was these three essences. That was mind-boggling, but it also gave me an experience to tag and to identify and become present in those alternate states to the way I was perceiving and creating my reality. I could choose at any given time, and I can choose now to go into that observer state, that energetic state, or that physical state, and I will have different experiences depending on which way I work my reality or my conscious present. And I do that work every single moment, as do we all. But being able to tag it help me better understand how we are not our mind. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. And, you know, I think a very important point that you're really highlighting is that you had that experience. Now, maybe it came about, right, circumstantially. It was something serendipitous for you, because I've listened to your shows and I've heard you talk about it. And would you say it was something like that? It wasn't you were planning that experience. However,
it was a happy accident.
As you say, yeah, it is. And this happens to all of us. Now, maybe, you know, the great thing that you did, which is so brilliant, Wendy, is that, and this is what I'm calling in quantum thing is one of the principles, the art of distinguishing it. See, you can have an experience and you think, wow, that was cool, you know, or you can have an experience and you can say, I don't know what that was, but let me just move on, you know, go back to where I was normally. Or you could have an experience, as this is what you did, that I think is really important for all of us to really get, is that, as you say, you tagged it. I call it distinguishing it. You distinguished your experience so that now, going forward, even though that happened to you, whatever, you know, your soul's destiny, who knows why, in terms of a serendipitous moment, but now that you've distinguished it, you can access that state anytime you want. Would you say that's a fair assessment of that?
For the most part, yes. Yeah. The awareness, once it's there, it doesn't go away.
Right. But you see, the thing is, and we all, you know, your show, Conscious Living, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about conscious living, I think the important thing is to know that when we have the understanding of our mind-based reality, of our consciousness-based reality, and then you learn to become facile with these ways that our mind, you know, faculties actually work, then you can truly be living in a conscious, you know, a conscious life, because you're consciously generating it. So let's say, you know, and you brought up, I think it's maybe a good idea if I just talk about that term, non-local mind, for a moment, and what that means. And so this term non-locality, which comes from quantum science, you know, and they say, well, the universe, it's a non-local universe. You know, I'm not exactly sure what they mean by that, but it's like it's not local. You can't pin it down because it's not just physical. So if you look at this term, non-local mind, that is also used, I think it was coined originally by Dr. Larry Dossey, who is a physician who, you know, is talking, teaching the world and the world of medical professionals and the world that our intent has an effect on everything, on healing, that you can't, he says, you can't really understand healing unless you understand the connection of our own intent. Now, so that's a mind-based, obviously, dynamic. Now, so this term, non-local mind, it means that, it means a few things. It means that the mind is not located in the sense of an ordinary physical object. The mind has no spatial or temporal. It's not located. It's beyond chronological time and physical space. It doesn't exist in that same dimension. And that's why the mind can literally go anywhere, because it's a question of what we decide to tune into, where we want to put our minds. So, for example, a real example in what is called in scientific experimentation, remote viewing. It's like you had that experience. And I know you've had experiences, and many people have, where, you know, you go out of body and you're watching your body, but you realize you are not your body, but you have some in this incarnation connection to it. Now, in remote viewing, people are trained, and particularly people who do practice meditation, because they have they're more adept with being able to concentrate and be, you know, better participants in these types of experiments, where you can go into a building across the world and describe what's in that building. And, you know, people draw it on a piece of paper. It's sketchy, but yet this can be done. How is that possible? This is not, you know, it's nothing, it's not a trick. It's that we have that capability with our own faculties of mind to be able to do this. And so when you think about it, you know, because I know we want to ground this, that you and I have talked about this, you know, on a daily basis, why is this important to know, for example, how to use your intuitive faculty in a more advanced way? You know, many reasons, but just in the most ordinary sense, we're in a time now where we know we're undergoing a great transitional time in the systems and structures that we live in, you know, in everything, in our politics, in our education, health, all of it. And this has a lot to do with this quantum age and, you know, that our amazing technologies that make this show possible, that the way we can communicate with each other and connect this way beyond space-time, am I saying, the replays, but that we can, we're looking at a world in living in a condition of accelerated pace of change, increasing complexity and choice, you know, because of all these technologies and people have the ability to create more. And it's like, oh my God, you know, it's coming from every direction. How do I catch up with this? And then we have the uncertainty, because as we're undergoing this transformation in the world we share, and it's also happening in our personal lives, this is planetary, where I'm an avid student of astrology, where we're each being asked by that energy cycle to express ourselves in some new way. So the old has to dissolve for the new to emerge. So we're in these conditions. And you think, well, the old world, when I say the old worldview, I'm talking about the old conclusions and assumptions of the industrial age, which gave rise to machine, you know, physical universe, push on circumstances to try to get something to move, objects look solid, you know, it was one-dimensional looking, five-sensory reality. And now you think, well, we can never catch up going that linear, step-by-step, huffing and puffing. We have to take a leap and start to live from our intuition.
Okay, this is where I want to take a break. I want to stop right there, because that's intuition is a great next step. We're talking with Diane Collins. The book is Do You Quantum Think? The next phase I want to go into is energy. Energy, because that's that intuition where it comes into play. There's one little part in where you talk about live the wisdom of energy and flux. We're coming back with more of reality creation and quantum thinking with Diane Collins on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Stay tuned.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Hey there, and welcome back. Conscious Living on Empower Radio, talking with Diane Collins and Quantum Think. It's so funny, I caught myself saying something I haven't said for quite a while. Stay tuned. And it's an inadvertent form of programming without even, you know, being aware of it. That's a conscious set point of being ready, awake, prepared, open. And I just see, wow, that's really serving a purpose without intending to. So we're tuned and awaiting the programming. Quantum way of thinking. The thing that you went into when you segued into the intuition part. How do you bridge the either or, the mechanistic, the linear? How do you get out of that and get into the flow? And intuition is a natural segue into that. So yeah, please, because you were just getting into that and I kind of interrupted because the break was creeping up, about living the wisdom of energy and flux.
Okay, good. Okay, those are related, of course. But intuition, what I consider to be the access, the human access to the non-local mind field. Okay, so we can tune in. You know, we know this because all of us use our intuition, and we've all had intuitive flashes. I mean, this is in common usage, and some of us more than others when we're on a conscious path. But we can take it to another level when you realize that your intuitive faculty, as you said, that was so perfect, the ability to tune in to or attune ourselves consciously to the field. So, you know, as I often share, that when I'm going shopping, I think, you know, I can't go up and down the aisles, right, to figure out what dress am I wearing to this event. I stop right there and ask for my intuition to please guide me directly to where I'll find the perfect thing. Now, sometimes it's like, keep going because this store isn't for you. And so this is what I was talking about before the break, where how do you catch up with a continuously accelerating pace that's going on in the world? You don't. You make the leap and you start to think in sync with a world that moves beyond space-time. And the intuition is one way that you do it. So in Do You Quantum Think, I brought up something that Jay Krishnamurti said about a discipline. And he said there is the kind of, he distinguished between two types of discipline. One discipline that is where he says you're made to work like in a factory, like a machine, where you're, you know, pushing yourself and forcing yourself. The other kind of discipline, and this is what we're talking about, is where you turn yourself over to a higher, I'm going to use the word higher, a greater intelligence, a more rarefied, refined intelligence that we know we are part and parcel of, connected to. But again, as you said about the meditation practice, you're only the quality of the connection. It's like, you know, being online. It's like, or, you know, being on your cell phone. How many bars are up? Are you connected on one bar, a weak connection to this infinite intelligent field? Or do you have all the bars going? This is a conscious act of your own intent. So what Krishnamurti says about the other kind of discipline is you give yourself over to that knowledge. And as I quoted from a great meditation master who said, in order to command, you must first obey. So it's not like you're becoming a servant or a slave, but what you're doing, Wendy, is you're attuning, you're tuning in to the nature of that intelligent energy so that when you turn yourself over to it, you're opening yourself to receiving. And then, as Krishnamurti said, at first you do this in a, we would call in a quantum thinking way of doing it, is you do it just by virtue of your intent, because you have an intent to master your intuitive faculty. It's everything starts with intent. And that's all you have to say. It's that simple. And then you're turning yourself over. And he says, then there is no discipline necessary because it becomes integrated in your way of being. So if you want to be, you know, have all those bars showing up, that you have the quality, connection to that source that enables you to receive the messages, the intel that you're meant to have, to give you that silent tap on the shoulder and say, you know what? Instead of that decision, consider this over here, or look at this, what showed up in my space, you know, in the world. Look at this gentleman I just met when I was standing, you know, in the grocery line yesterday. Is there something here for me? So what you're talking about is like refining that attunement. And then from there, so the intuition is the access point. From there, then you learn to work with subtle energy. Would you say it's something like that for you too, Wendy?
In terms of how I let it in, I think you touched on something where you said the discipline. When I try to confine it, if I try to put a linear aspect to it and manage it, okay, I'm going to do this at 10 a.m., I'll do this at 10:30, I'll do this at 10:45, I'll do it every day when the sun is up, I'll do it every night when the sun is down. I have to go, how does this feel? How does this feel? And trust that even if it doesn't coincide with everybody else's paradigm, with their belief, with their expectation, something inside me is requiring me to go at it from a different perspective. So I have to explain it rather than I can't just give you a set answer. I have to give you a description of how this works, which no, I found the way I work. It's very difficult to put it in linear terms. I can describe an experience or an encounter or an engagement, and then that lets it be mine because it doesn't work this way for everybody.
That's exactly right.
Has to figure their own way.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I make a distinction between intent and intention, because intent is the, you know, it's the central dynamic of creation that we've been endowed with by divine birthright. So when people use these terms interchangeably, but I don't, because I think of intention as some future state, some future goal or a place to get to. I'm using intent in a more shamanic way.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is the activation, intent, where you place your focus and attention. And you don't have to keep it there, but it's, you know, like a one-time event, like the masters say. You don't have to, you know, it's like you don't have to give the waiter your order five times. You know, the universe got it, right?
So, but wait. Okay, here, there's a report, a study that they did of people, they hooked up their brain to wires and they said, we know the direction you're going to choose before you say it, before it comes out. And that validates what you're talking about, that they scientifically can determine what answer you're going to give moments or seconds before you give the answer, before you even realize what you're going to do. They've already determined scientifically.
That's exactly
this is your
right.
answer.
Right. And I'm familiar with that. And this, we say in the quantum world, things move backward and forward in time. You can actually alter. And, you know, we do this with our quantum think, you know, we have consulting clients where you can alter a relationship or something that happened backward in time. But what you're saying is right. Like the response, it's already there before it gets to, you know, manifesting in the way that we express it or choose it or whatever in voice. It's already there. Now, that is intent. You're right. Because the intent is more from the feeling tone of the body. So how I distinguish intent is that it's the activation of the energy intelligent field, and that sets up a wave field. It's probability, so that when you create a statement of intent, you don't get one end result. You attract many results that are consistent with that intent. So it's like, okay, we're in an infinite possibility universe. What narrows the field is the virtue of your intent. So if you have an intent to live a conscious life, to master, we were talking about your intuition, or to master the use of energy fields, you said, you know, tuning in your way. And this is very important, working with subtle energy. Does this, you know, I wrote in the book, what energizes us, what enervates us? Enervates takes away, you know, you feel depleted. What energizes is you feel vitalized. Now, we're talking about, you know, the big awareness with the capital A, is that when you're living in that state of awareness, you know, you're living in the transcendent state, and the what's called the immanent state, meaning, you know, the person you play in everyday life, all the roles we play, then what happens is you have that tuned in state, and you one of the things about living from the quantum worldview is that, right, it's not the predictive, what you were saying. You don't know how it's going to show up. You know, scientists say, I use this analogously, you know, they can only see 4% of the visible universe. The rest is dark energy and dark matter. And there's always question, you know, what does that mean in science? But it doesn't matter. Just look at it. I like to use 10%. Suppose you create a statement of intent. A statement of intent is that I am absolutely ecstatic about the way my intuition is working masterfully. Just that could be a state of intent. That's always said in the present tense, as if it already is, and I like to use the experiential word, I'm ecstatic about it, so that you put the feeling into it. Now, you don't know how that's going to show up, that it's going to attract. That's a context. That's what I mean by, you know, reality is context-dependent. You're choosing that not because it's evidence-based, not because it's true or false. That's the old world, evidence-based, I'll believe it when I see it world. It's because you understand the quantum reality works this way. By virtue of whatever context, and intent is a form of context, whatever context you choose, you're doing it because that's what you're choosing to create, to live from. It's as simple as, is the glass half empty, half full? Well, the circumstance is the same, but what are you going to choose? And then to get to your point, okay, well, if we can't see the other 90%, I call it living in the unknowable. In the moment, we don't, this is the great part, right? The fun part is the magic. You don't know what's going to unfold. That's the passive dynamic of creating. It's another in the system of thinking. Allowing, very important. We're not used to that because our culture is, okay, what do we do next? What do we do next? Okay, if I want to get something to happen, take this action, take that action. But what we're talking about here is we're talking about everything starts with your intent. And then you allow, because you're tuned in energetically, because you're using your intuitive faculty as a natural way, and then you're just watching what shows up, and you interact with it. It's like you plant, you know, to take it very physical, graphic illustration, you want to plant something, you plant a seed, that's your intent, and then it starts to unfold, you get the little sapling, and then you interact with it by nurturing it, you know, light, water, the right direction to the wind, however you do it. And this is how it unfolds in our life. And this is what I think, anyway. This is, we all want a magical life, and this is it. It's really simple.
Well, you certainly give all sorts of opportunities for starting points throughout the book. And you talk about the first part being the wake-up call, and then the second part, the activating the wisdom and the awareness. And so just giving people an overview without having the benefit of reading the book. And congratulations, I guess you won George Norrie and your book sold out. Hopefully it's back in stock.
Thank you. That's right. But, you know, I think the book is... It says it's an out of stock, temporarily out of stock on Amazon.com. The book, by the way, is in hardcover and all ebook editions. You can also get it on BarnesandNoble.com, and in stores you can order it if it's not there. But the thing about it is that I have a feeling after 20 days of this condition of calling my poor publisher every day, what's going on, that they keep putting in orders, and I think it keeps going out. And so it keeps putting itself back into a temporarily out of stock. But I know if you order it, you'll get the book.
Perfect. Well, I thought I'd better mention that because I thought, well, you know, people are going to go, hey, what? And there's an answer. All right. It's in the pipeline. It's on its way. Don't worry about it. Order it. You'll get it.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that.
Well, the thing I also want to say is as you're organizing this book, there's a lot of information to take in. I love the stuff about Krishnamurti. I also love the stuff about Kandinsky. I love the scientific information, the stuff with, I'm blanking on the name, the noetic sciences, Edgar Mitchell.
Edgar Mitchell.
Mm. Yes. There's the quantum hologram. There's Nassim Haramein. All this information is in here, so it might be daunting when you're first looking at it and reading it start to finish. Trust that you know what is good for you and open the book and dive in, because there is all sorts of incredibly relevant, pertinent, and helpful information here that you can use as a tool to wherever you want to get to in terms of your ability to think and create your reality more efficiently and effectively for you. Your own recipe is what works best. And some of these little triggers in here are really nice starting points and just bookmarks for future reference. If it doesn't resonate at the moment, then maybe a little bit later when you go back at it and have had a chance to sift and sort and settle with the first reading, because you've really done your homework.
Me, you know, it really is. My publicist was here yesterday, Pavel. He, you know, meeting him in person for the first time after working for, you know, many months. And this is what he was saying, you know, it's like, it's my life work. It's not over, but I wrote this like it's meant to be a friend for life, double entendre. You know, it's not a one-time read, and it's meant to be read slowly. And people use it, as you were talking about yesterday, Wendy, about intuitively. So some people like, you know, they want to know, what is she going to say next? You know, because I, of course, try to make it entertaining and a little funny, too, in the first part. And then they go back. Sometimes they just read it through, or sometimes, you know, they read it slowly. But always, as you said, a tool. It's meant to be a tool and has these practices for the mind and awareness that I call recreations. It's just as you go about your day, that's how you integrate it into you. But, you know, I have the most fun just opening it to anything. And, you know, as you said, your intuition. This non-local mind field, this is what I find the most amazing, like what you were talking about before. Well, they can already determine, you know, what we're going to say before we say it. You know, this mind ability of consciousness is so vast. It's so amazing. But what I find, Wendy, is it's like so perfect. Like you could ask a question right now. I have my book in front of me. Or you may have it there. Open it up to anything and see what you get the answer. And it works every time. It's like, okay, I need a message right now. What is it? And you can do this with any book, but my book, because it does have a lot in it, you know, it's a good source because there's a lot of messages. But, you know, I don't know if you have time, because I know we're getting toward the end of top of the hour.
I'll tell you what I got right there, opening, because we got about 2 minutes. The Art of Distinguishing, A New Worldview of Learning. Realities Are Created.
Beautiful.
See, that's like an ending and a beginning.
That's like, you want to know something? This is.
Yeah?
I always, before I go on a show, I always open up to the page that, you know, give me a message, give me a direction for this show.
Mm-hmm.
I opened up to that chapter, the art. Now, I just want to say there are 33 chapters in my book, everyone listening. Mm-hmm. I opened up not to the first page of it, but I opened up to exactly that chapter. And why did I just take it out? But anyway, as we were talking, I was flipping the pages. But the Art of Distinguishing is exactly where I opened it, about that realities are created And if you look, this is the I remember the sentence that I opened to. If you look in the circumstances, is not the place to look. Look within and use your own power of intent.
There you go. If you're listening right now, then this chapter is going to be relevant for you as well. So check it out. Check out the book, DianeCollins.com. You can check out her website. And Do You Quantum Think is the name of the book. Again, thank you so much, Diane, for sharing your information, your wisdom. There's plenty here for a long, wonderful, powerful read. Have a fabulous day.
Deep, deep gratitude and appreciation to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Conscious Living on Empower Radio.